relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back, dear friends. Welcome back. We have a very special guest with us, Victor Davis Hanson, Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution, joins us every week. Historian, classicist, his latest work is The Case for Trump, and he has written one of his longest pieces, a fabulous piece at our friend's website, American Greatness, amgreatness.com. It's Crazy 2020 is Dead. Long live Crazier 2021. Professor Hanson, welcome back to America First.
Thank you.
If you'll indulge me, let's start with a clip from somebody who is allegedly a former Republican. His name is Rick Wilson, and it has to do with the events of the last 8 days in Washington, D.C., and the ominous 8 hours on Capitol Hill yesterday. It's his qualification of the president and his supporters. Rick Wilson, MSNBC, video cut 15.
Donald Trump is the leader of a terrorist faction, of a terrorist group that terrorized the Congress. They accomplished their mission. When it came to the Republicans, the ones who really believe in Trumpism, it's a handful. It's, you know, 25, 35 of those idiots, you know, the Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan types. A lot of the rest of them are just absolutely living in stark terror that Donald Trump's mob will come and kill them. I mean, that's not a country that we thought we lived in, where the warlord will send his minions at you if you don't agree with everything he says.
So verbatim for you, Professor, Rick Wilson says on a cable channel, he says, Donald Trump is a terrorist in charge of a terrorist organization. And outside of a few idiots like Jim Jordan on Capitol Hill, all the other congressmen and women are fleeing for their lives. Is this the unity and peace we were promised?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's their version of it. Absolutely. They, Joe Biden, you remember, called the two U.S. senators, Gribble, compared him to the Nazi propagandist, and he's nominated somebody to be the head of the Civil Rights Division who believes that African Americans are genetically superior to white. So this is going to go on and on. And there's not, you know, it's hard when you say, well, okay, well, these people are in media, and I think it was Eugene Robinson was on MSNBC today and said that Republicans, mostly white people, they have to be deprogrammed, or
yes.
What does that mean? Or have their minds cleansed, and it's just, where do you turn? You want to go turn to PBS and say, well, at least the government is neutral? No, I mean, they had a shot of a PBS lawyer who basically said people should be put in camps. You want to go to NPR and say, well, you know, it's not a political radio station. They just had a review not too long ago, very favorable interview with the author of In Defense of Looting. So it's ubiquitous. It's sort of 360 degrees everywhere. And I don't know how you stop it except to confront it and take it on. And these people are the fascists. These people are the intolerant ones. These people are the racist. And we have to tell them that. And Rick Wilson has a long history of really terrible things he's said about people in a variety of contexts. He's made people fun of people's accent, their class. And that whole Lincoln Project and Never Trump bulwark people was kind of a repository of people who were very angry and felt their life hadn't worked out the way they had planned. And then they're just sort of barking at the moon and blaming everybody for, I don't know what, they had an election, their candidate won. In America, we go on to the next election in 4 years and we live with it. We don't go out and try to round up people and humiliate them or put them on lists or something. Something you do in a Orwellian novel or contemporary China.
I have to ask for your assistance, Professor Hansen, because it's so hard to divine when you know the math, when you know that the incumbent received 10 million more votes than he did 4 years ago, when you know he has 74 million Americans who like him enough to vote for him, 89 million followers on Twitter, when you talk of re-education and reprogramming, as you say, how can you do that in a sense wherein you believe it will lead to positive things for your side of the aisle? Are we devoid completely of any historic perspective, or are these individuals utterly hostages to their own ideology?
I think a simpler explanation is they don't understand there's no such thing as deterrence for them. And so they say these things when there's no consequences. So if Meghan McCain says that whose father spread the fallacious Steele dossier, that the people who were arrested should be put in Gitmo, that sounds neat, and somebody will try to top it off. And so if you say a re-education camp, they need to be reprogramming, or the PBS lawyer says, sure, everybody should be put in camp, that if you're on the left, they assume that there's a complete lack of consequences for hate speech because they prepped the battlefield for years and said, hate speech, hate speech, hate speech, you're guilty. And so everybody understands the asymmetry of the conversation. If you're conservative or moderate, you're one word spoken or written away from career destruction. If you're a left-wing person, you bought, I guess we would call it liability insurance. And you can say whatever you want, and you become emboldened, and it becomes a race to the bottom. And that's what Mr. Wilson and Eugene Robinson, and if anybody had just switched that, I think the quote was something that Robinson said, there are millions of Americans, almost all white, almost all Republicans, that somehow need to be deprogrammed. What if you had said, there are millions of Americans after the Obama election, almost all black, people of color, almost all Democrats. And you said something terrible like that, you should be ostracized. But now there's no consequence to this imagery. It's almost death imagery. What do they want to do when they say deprogram? What does that mean? You put somebody into a cage and you put wires on their brain, or you put them in a North Korean type of re-education camp where they have tutors, or you want to go back to the Cultural Revolution where they wear a dunce cap? What does Meghan McCain mean? Now, are we going to not try people? We're just going to put them down in Gitmo, let them sit for a year or two? So it's really scary how quickly these people resort to these fascist tropes and images when they think that they can get away with it. But our system is, you know that better than I do. It's yin and yang, reaction, reaction. And mark my words, there's going to be a reaction to all this, and it's going to come in 2022, and I think it's going to be analogous to 2010 reaction when they lost the largest number of seats in the, I think it was the 36th election, because people will not put up with this.
I don't want to I don't want to misunderstand you. So you say there's no ramifications, there's no consequence for this incredible language of deprogramming and re-education. Is that the fault of conservatives, that we haven't pushed back and we haven't made language like that anathema? Where does the culpability lie, Professor Hansen?
Well, I think you're on the right pathway. I think all of us know that it takes a few people to speak out and say there has to be symmetry. We have to know what the rules are. If you burn down and loot a business in Minneapolis, and or you break and burn a church in Washington and you try to go across the ground and get into the White House, that is analogous to storming a Capitol, whether it's right-wing or left-wing. There has to be consequences. But when we don't do that, then people can say there is such a thing as good writing or bad writing. Take our retired esteemed military. They gave all of these lectures. Under no circumstances should you ever call out the military into a civilian unrest situation. And these are people that actually burned a church and they were headed toward the White House. What are they saying now? We have 20,000? Is it 20,000
yes.
military on the streets? We haven't seen that since the Civil War. I haven't heard one military officer say this is outrageous to militarize the nation's capital with 20,000. And so when they do this, and it's so asymmetrical, people get very cynical. And they said, you know what? If you take over six blocks of Seattle and you're Raw Simone, you carry something like an AR-15 or even an AK-47 modified rifle, and you're a warlord and four people are shot and two are killed, you're going to get sanctuary. And if you get anything, you know, approaching that in the Capitol, all we conservatives say, we want you arrested. You did something very terrible. You're violent. But the left doesn't do that.
Rules for thee and not for me, and there will be consequences. We're talking to the Hoover Institution Senior Fellow at Stanford University, classicist, military historian, author of The Case for Trump. Follow him now at VD Hansen on Twitter. We'll be back with a good professor momentarily.
Discussions have brought up media literacy, because that is a part of what happened here. We're going to have to figure out how we rein in our media environment so that you can't just spew disinformation and misinformation.
How we rein in the media? What if Donald Trump had said, we're going to rein in the media? That was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, not just deprogramming, re-education, but reining in the free press. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We are back with Victor Davis Hanson, author of The Second World Wars, The Soul of Battle, and most recently, The Case for Trump. Read his writings at amgreatness.com and follow him at VD Hanson on Twitter. Professor Hanson, the first impeachment of a president lasted 81 days. The second of Bill Clinton lasted 37. Yesterday's impeachment lasted 8 hours. What does that do to the word impeachment and to the fabric of the republic constitutionally?
Well, if you read what the founders said it was for, and they had a big argument over whether you needed a 2/3 vote in the Senate or whether it should be in the House or what. And I think there's a long discussion in Federalist 65, 66, and 67.
Yes.
They thought it should be a very rare occurrence. They envisioned it as probably in the second term of a president, as it was with Clinton, and as it threatened Nixon, because you couldn't do anything else. It was the last desperate effort. With Donald Trump, remember, we've had actually three. They introduced articles of impeachment December 17. I think there were 58 people voted for it, and then that failed.
Yes.
And then in December 2019, impeachment succeeded. The conviction failed, and then this time around, the impeachment succeeded again, and I think the conviction will fail. But what we're doing now, we're telling a first-term president, if you lose the House, impeachment is now a vote of no confidence. And we've told Joe Biden, you destroyed the rules by which we protect people, especially presidents, your party. So if you should lose the House,
maybe some congressman will say, you know what, about every 6 months we're going to look at the Hunter laptop again and introduce articles of impeachment. And what have you done to the 25th Amendment? That was deliberately written for things such as operations, medical emergencies, anesthesiology, interventions. And we've made it, if you say something we don't like, you're crazy. And we had Donald Trump took the Montreal cognitive assessment test to prove that he wasn't. Remember the acting FBI director and the acting attorney general, Mr. Rosenstein, talked about getting a wire to entrap the president to prove that he was crazy. Now, Joe Biden has senior moments. Are we going to say, you know what, that was a good idea that you instituted, this 25th Amendment for misuse use. So we're going to try to get your pressure on Kamala Harris. I don't think you have to put much pressure at all to call the cabinet and just see what they think when you lost your train of thought 6 or 7 times this week. Is that what we want? And we had a special counsel, 22 months.
Yeah.
Now we're going to say, you know what? The Biden Family Inc., who was the big guy and what was the 10% cut? Let's get Mr. Durham, give him exceptional powers and turn him loose for 22 months with a string of conservative lawyers and $40 million. So that's where we are, that we've weaponized these institutions that were not meant to be weaponized. And I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle. That's what's happened.
Do you subscribe? Some have said that with the transparently partisan and unconstitutional impeachment yesterday, where they clearly stated we have no need to present evidence, that the martyring of the president means that he can likely come back into the political life faster than otherwise would have been the case after the events of last week and the storming of the Capitol. What do you have any expectations for Donald Trump, the private citizen, that may surprise the political elite?
Yeah, I'm a big believer as themes of classical literature, irony, unintended consequences, nemesis, Pontius Rubus. So there's been a lot of unintended consequences. So they took Donald Trump's Twitter account. So Donald Trump cannot do as he usually does, reply in kind. So whether it was by intent or accident, Donald Trump is sphinx-like. He's above the fray. He's quiet. He's not on social media. He can't get on. They're the ones that are talking about beheading him and Kathy Griffin holding up his head again and all of his violent imagery. They're doing it. And Donald Trump could not defend himself. So they are trashing him, and they railroaded an impeachment. And the polls show that it was a railroad impeachment in the hearts and minds of Americans. So, yeah. And then we have something. This is all being prepped, of course, not just to punish Donald Trump, but we're going to have the most radical left agenda we've ever seen in 2 weeks. Filibuster gone, and then what else? Supreme Court pack, Puerto Rico at stake, no more electoral college, national mail-in voting laws. Who knows? But it's going to be left-wing. It's going to be hard left. We haven't seen it since probably the 1965 or the 30s, 38, 39. And there's going to be a backlash against that. And they know that. And so they're trying to preempt in advance, but it's going to also help Donald Trump. I don't know yet whether he, because of this latest problem, whether it'll be him as a kingmaker, as a candidate, or behind the scenes, but I think he's going to have some sort of role. But I know his agenda will have a big role, because I don't think any Republican is going to go back to Romneyism or Bushism or McCainism. It's just not going to happen.
You really think that that type of establishment conservatism is done after the last 4 years? Because a lot of people will welcome that analysis.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you imagine a candidate? You think Nikki Haley is going to run on, we've got to drop all of this tough stuff with China and welcome the Chinese back the way it used to be, and we've got to outsource and offshore more jobs, and we got to take down that wall. It's an act of hate, and let's not have any more walls, and we need to have more amnesties, and we don't need to worry about the industrial Middle West. It's gone. I think Larry Summers said it best. You know, it's gone, and you're not going to – and Barack Obama's – you need a magic wand. I don't think we're going to go back to that. I really don't. And, you know, we have to go and invade Syria and rebuild it as a democracy. There's just no support for that. And I think – the Republican Party, I don't know if it was by intent or accident, is a party of the lower, middle, and upper middle class. And the Democrats is a party of the plutocratic rich.
Yes.
And privileged and elite, and the very poor, often the subsidized poor.
Yeah.
And that's where we are now. And I don't think that the rich Republican golf set wants to be with this nationalist, workers, populist, middle class party. They hate it. They hate the culture of it. They hate the people of it. They don't like the way they look. They talk. All these names that we're talking about, Mr. Wilson, you know, he got on television, made fun of their accent, the rubes. Bill Kristol said we should swap them out for illegal aliens. All of that deplorable, irredeemable talk didn't just come from the Clintons or Barack Obama's clingers. It came from a lot of Republicans,
too. And not only that, he increased his vote by 10 million. From your lips to God's ears, Victor Davis Hanson, author of The Case for Trump. Follow him at VD Hanson. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Seems to me that impeachment is an itch that doesn't go away with just one scratch. It also seems that President Trump may be most likely to be impeached when he is correct. Before the last presidential impeachment, President Trump rightly pointed out the improper activities of the Biden crime family, and subsequently he's been proven right. And don't think for a moment, Madam Speaker, that we're going to drop that or stop our pursuit.
Don't think for a moment we're going to stop our pursuit of the Biden crime family. That was the fabulous Matt Gaetz yesterday during the travesty, the 8-hour impeachment, speed impeachment, fake impeachment of Donald Trump. And now we know the truth. 6 days from now, Joe Biden will be sworn in as the 46th president of the United States, and we have to deal with the ramifications of that reality, and we have to deal with them not just domestically, but internationally. And the thing that matters the most is our only strategic enemy, and that's China. Who better to answer the questions of what this means for all Americans and for geopolitics writ large than our good friend Gordon Chang. Follow him right now on Twitter, Gordon G. Chang, author most recently of the monograph The Great U.S.-China Tech War. Gordon, I'm sure you're familiar. Welcome back to America First. Thanks for joining us today. I'm sure you're fully familiar with this institutionalized exercise that the U.S. Army has. It's called red teaming. And now there's actually, you know, every significant commander has a red teaming cell next to him. And these are the individuals who study foreign cultures and are meant to try and think the way the enemy thinks in any given situation, whether it's ISIS in Syria, whether it's Russia in Eastern Europe. Can you help us, because you are a preeminent scholar on matters of Chinese culture and the way they think of the world, what is the essence of the red cell answer to how the communist regime is going to react to the Bidens taking control of America
next Wednesday.
Well, the one thing we know, Seb, is that the Chinese right now are arrogant. Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, on Monday addressed ministerial and provincial level officials, and he said that the changes that are happening in the world are the ones we're witnessing have not been seen in a century. And what he's referring to in that comment is the failure of America and the rise of China to global dominance. So from Xi Jinping's point of view, and I don't agree with him, but from Xi Jinping's point of view, he's taking over. And we know about this arrogance from, for instance, the comments of that Renmin University professor, Di Dongsheng. At the end of November, he said, look, you know, during the Trump administration, our line of influence into the White House was broken. And he was referring to Wall Street. But he was saying that with Trump going, that Biden will, they'll be able to reestablish that. And they will then again to determine the outcomes at the highest levels of the U.S. political system. So the Chinese believe that they are going to be back in control on noon at January 20.
I mean, this is a common phenomena we've seen in various conflicts. Could that arrogance lead to miscalculation and to overstretch? How dangerous is that arrogance coming out of the world's biggest dictatorship, Gordon Chang?
This is one of the most dangerous moments of our lives. I think we'd have to go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis to find something as precarious as this. And it's essentially because, as you point out, Seb, the Chinese think they can do what they want, which means they're going to overstep, and that means the U.S. is going to have to confront them. Now, for a very long period, we Americans have taught the Chinese to ignore our warnings. That was in the administration of George W. Bush. That was certainly in the administration of Barack Obama, where Biden was driving foreign policy. Now, with Trump, Trump actually started to impose costs on the Chinese. And so, to a large extent, they left the U.S. alone. And they started to go after India, Japan, other countries. But now, I think that they believe that they can again push us around. And they're licking their chops.
Yeah, I predict a very, very busy 4 years for my friend Gordon Chang, because there will be a reversal. China got away literally with murder since Kissinger convinced Nixon that it's a good idea to open to China. Right-wing, left-wing presidents made it even worse. The one man who stood up to them was Donald Trump. And now you have Biden coming into the White House, who has said on the record that China is not a competitor. Stay with us. We will continue the discussion with our good friend Gordon Chang. Follow him right now on Twitter, Gordon G. Chang, and his latest work, the monograph, The Great U.S.-China Tech War. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, live streaming across the nation to millions of listeners and viewers. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube as well and wherever you get your podcasts. But also, look after yourself. I've got over the coronavirus. I feel stronger than ever. And every single day, I still take my balance of nature. Dr. Douglas Howard has formulated this to get you to be the healthiest you can be. You have to exercise, you have to be sensible, but also you need all the vital nutrients that a good diet provides. And when I take those 6 little capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables, I'm taking unbelievably 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables, the things that are essential for a healthy, healthy diet. Right now, Dr. Howard is going to give you 35% off and free shipping if you use my name. Call them on 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A to get that massive discount. Do it today. You won't regret it. 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
We are back. We are dealing with the ramifications of not just yesterday, but what is coming in 6 days' time. the 46th president of the United States. Unfortunately, Biden will be sworn in, a man whose family has very, very close and lucrative connections to communist China. His son alone landing a $1.4 billion deal with the National Bank of Communist China. But it's not just about international relations. It's about what's happening domestically. We are an interwoven world today. And I want to play for our good guest, Gordon Chang, a little snippet, 30 seconds, from that fighter for freedom, Devin Nunes, on Fox, talking about how we got to where we are today. That's a video cut, 10 play cuts.
Well, I think people need to stay in the fight and understand they have to stay involved in their government. What's happening here really is reminiscent of the fall of the Soviet Union, where you have the Democrat leadership. They're all very old. They're being challenged by these insurgents, these revolutionaries who are bringing communism into the Democratic Party. So the American people are vigilant about this. This is why you saw the crackdown. You mentioned it earlier. Elimination of an entire company, Parler, the only free social media platform that conservatives could go to. That's been obliterated.
So this is a very powerful, at times shocking analogy, or this imagery that Devin gave us, that right now he said the Democrat Party is like the waning years of the Soviet Union, when the old gerontocracy, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, are being challenged by these insurgents like AOC and the radicals, and they're using tactics that are truly totalitarian, whether it's shutting down Parler or deleting the president with his 88 million followers on Twitter. Gordon, as a person who spends his waking hours studying communist China, who's in touch with dissidents day in, day out, is this hyperbole, or are you too concerned for not only the Sino-Chinese relationship, but for what is happening inside our republic?
Oh, we've got to be concerned, because this is an existential attack on American ideals. And at the same time that we've got domestic challenges, which Devin was talking about, you also have China trying to overthrow the U.S. government. You know, we talk about the violent protests at the Capitol. We've got to remember that last year, China was fomenting violence on American streets. There's that report from Radio Free Asia that the People's Liberation Army, based itself in the Houston consulate, was sending out videos on how to riot. We have these reports that are unconfirmed, but probably are true, of Chinese protesters on the streets of Washington, D.C., one block north of the White House, on the night of May 31st, the night that St. John's Church was burned. And these Chinese protesters were speaking Mandarin, acting in coordination with each other, and actually were overheard talking about Chinese government involvement in getting them on the streets that night. And all those, as I said, those reports are unconfirmed. They do mirror what we've heard about Chinese protesters in Los Angeles and Southern California locations. This is more than just subversion, Seb. This is an act of war against the U.S. because, as I mentioned, they are trying to overthrow our government. And this is at the same time that we're under attack at home.
Given the fact that we're hearing that Swalwell, who was implicated in this sting with this Chinese intelligence officer, hasn't been reprimanded, hasn't been sanctioned in any way, shape, or form, is still on the Intelligence Committee, are we going to have to, for the time being, give up the political solution to this threat? And how much are the coming years a function of all of us, you, me, our good friend John Batchelor, others, just educating the American people to the reality of the threat? Should that be our priority, is what I'm asking, Gordon?
Well, certainly that's one of the things that we should be doing, Seb, because I don't think the American people are aware of all of China's attempts to get after us. So you mentioned Swalwell, a California Democrat. Remember, we've just had these reports that Barbara Boxer was working for Hikvision, which is not only a Chinese company, as it's called, but it's a company that was complicit in crimes against humanity. We've got the problems with Dianne Feinstein. You know, people talk about the California Democrats being penetrated by China's communists. That's true. But we've also got to remember that David Vitter, the former senator, Republican from Louisiana, was also working for Hikvision. So China's going after everyone in the American political system. And that means we've got to cut off those contacts because it's poisoning us and it's leading to the destruction of the American government.
And how effective a tool of education, of enlightenment, could be the fact that we now have lists, documented lists, some conservative outlets are doing some really good work on the numerous, the dozens and dozens of American companies that are profiting from the slave labor camps in China that are producing sub-components to their products. Will that help us get the message through, Gordon?
We've got to get the message through, and I think it will help because slavery is one of those things which, of course, you know, American and the American left talk about. But we've got to also understand that Nike, which is a woke company, which has gone after Republicans, was actually through a contractor having a substantial number of its shoes in China made with slaves. These were Uyghur women who had no choice about working for Nike. And clearly, you know, Nike lectures us all the time about all sorts of things, including racism. And here they were intentionally profiting from slavery. I mean, this is the message we've got to get to the American public, and we've got to get Nike out of our public square because, you know, this is just goes to the heart of our democracy, what they're trying to do.
This is remarkable, that just the very succinct way you expressed it. That a massive, a global entity like Nike has the audacity to lecture Americans on slavery and civil rights as they are profiting from slave labor. That's the essence of where we're at, and we have to keep fighting this fight, and I know you're going to be doing it for the next foreseeable future, especially after Biden is sworn in. Please follow this man. You will be educated on the threat. Gordon G. Chang on Twitter, and also read his latest monograph, The Great U.S.-China Tech War. God bless you, Gordon, for doing what you do. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from just outside the truly fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. I am so personally grateful to this incredible company for their drug-free pain relief that rid me of a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade after just 2 weeks of taking their product. Tens of thousands of Americans are being liberated daily from their pain. You could be the next one. Just listen to Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. That's remarkable. But it could be you. Find out today by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call them on 800-500-8384. Write that number down. 800-500-8384. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening, just like I do, just like Yvonne does. And I promise you, I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for Yvonne, myself, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Relieffactor.com. Do it now.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
They've ratcheted it up. Despite winning the House, splitting the Senate, and taking the White House, they just want more. They want to cancel you. And as we've discussed all day, if you disagree with them, you're not just a racist. You are a white supremacist, and that is going to blow back in their faces. The political consequences of calling half the nation, calling at least 74 million Americans white supremacists, will not be to provide more power to the Democrats, to make Biden's job, and you know it's going to be Kamala Harris. You know, I give it 6 to 9 months, maybe 9 months, probably less than six, and she will be behind the Resolute desk, that cackling buffoon. And they will overstep the mark. They did it yesterday. They didn't take 81 days to impeach the president like they did with Johnson. They didn't even take 8 days, 8 hours, for a sham, for a travesty, in which they told us, we don't need to show you evidence. Well, guess what kind of trial doesn't have evidence? One run by dictators, by totalitarians, by those for whom power is the only objective. But they will trip up. They will overreach. And that is why it is more important than ever that Americans stick together. I'm working behind the scenes with some of the biggest companies to help create what Charlie Kirk described earlier. Was it this week? Oh my gosh, the time flies on this show. The conservative ecosystem. Not just television, not just radio, but everything. From DMs to emails to social media to even where you buy what you wish to buy over the internet. When you call half the nation names, when you try to unperson them, you create the conditions for a brand new ecosystem. And I'd like you to build it with me. So take courage. The best is yet to come. And we will be victorious. It's not just about overcoming. It's about being victorious. And together, we're going to make that happen. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you've been watching us live streaming on YouTube, hit the like button. If you're listening to us on podcast, do us a little review. But most important of all, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, especially for the next 6 days, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never, ever give in. And above all else, stay frosty.